Hare Krishna, welcome, 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 welcome. I'm very happy to see all of you here assembled in a sacred valley of Giriraj. You must be very careful what you are desiring, because there are only desire trees here, and if you have the wrong type of desires, they will pick it up and they will give it to you. So let's be a little conscious. I will start immediately. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Satharine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are ready to start with our little katha on Akura's journey to Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada comments in Krishna book about this journey. He says, Akura's journey to Vrindavan is exemplary. One who intends to visit Vrindavan should follow the ideal footsteps of Akura and always think of the pastimes and the activities of the Lord. So in our little presentation here for the next few days, I intend to show you a little bit the example of Akura and give you a possibility to follow in his ideal footsteps for your best benefit in spiritual life. Yesterday, one devotee came to me and said, Maharaj, this is Radharaman Goswami. Welcome, Radharaman Goswami. This is a very auspicious opportunity. We have made a seat for you here, Maharaji. And, another Janardan Goswami. I don't know. Correct name or? What? Bhakti Anugraha Goswami. Bhakti Anugraha Janardan Goswami. Please, we have somehow thought you would come and we have put already your seats here in front. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. I don't know if you know the lotus feet of Radharaman Goswami have come here today. These feet have walked maybe 30 times of all around Braj. 28 times. Wow. These same lotus feet have come in our tent today and brought their owner also, Radharaman Goswami. We are very blessed by you, a real lover of Braj. Hare Krishna. Right at the outset, I want to say many, many devotees of Krishna, when they hear the name Akrura, they get bad feelings in their hearts. Oh no, Akrura was bringing Krishna out of Vrindavan. Akrura should be hated for this. They also remember that Akrura was cursed by the gopis, and therefore he actually turned one time against Lord Krishna. So when they hear we should follow the ideal footsteps of Akrura, these devotees have difficulties. What? The person who brought Krishna away from Vrindavan and the person who turned politically against Lord Krishna because he was cursed by the gopis, his footsteps should be followed. You must know that in Krishna Leela there are many, many layers, and all these layers have something to tell us. Sanatana Goswami, he highly praises Akrura for one qualification, for one layer, so to say, and that is his determination to see Krishna and his eagerness. If you hear about this, you will really think, well, Sukadev Goswami said, the high-minded Akrura is the Mahamati. He says, Mati means orientation and Maha means a high orientation. That high orientation of Akrura is there and can be followed by us. Please listen intently. Sanatana Goswami says, I offer my obeisances to Akrura, who just to see Krishna and Nanda Maharaj served even a demon. Who was Akrura? Akrura was the highly respected leader of the Yadav dynasty. Altogether, he had 12 brothers. It was a good-sized family. When Kamsa became the ruler of this area, Mathura area, and started his terror regime, it was a regime like Hitler or Stalin's, you know, comparable, but Kamsa was much more powerful than these demons of modern times. When all the leaders of the no music here, this is the heavy stuff. Who is dealing with the music? You, okay, then we will be in. All the Yadavas and all their leaders were going into hiding and disappeared from the political scene and were gone because they were fearing for their very life. Kamsa was just so cruel that any good-hearted person, you know, who supported brahmanas and who supported yagyas had to really fear political persecution and ultimately torture and death. So Akrura was the only a respected Yadava leader who took to a different strategy. He went to Kamsa's court and said, you need help, my dear king, of people who know this area well. I will become your mantri. Mantri means the prime minister, like Mr. Moody. Moody, is he a prime minister? Yes, I will become your mantri and I will support you in your political campaigns. Now, as Akrura said this, something entirely different went on in his heart. He knew Kamsa was a demon who hated Krishna and who avenged and who would try many things to kill Krishna Balaram. But Akrura thought, I will not run away from this place. I will outwardly act as if I'm siding with Kamsa, but inwardly I will just wait for that moment when I can go to see Krishna in Vrindavan. He knew Krishna would appear in 12 years when he became the mantri, the prime minister, and he was prepared to wait in the demoniac court of Kamsa, doing things he could not agree with from his heart, just for one single purpose. He wanted to have the darshan of Krishna. And for this determination and eagerness, Akrura is highly to be praised. Day and night, he thought, Krishna is very close. I would consider it the success of my life to have his darshan. If I run away from Kamsa, I will have to hide. And if I hide, I can't move freely. And in this way, I will be caught by the spies of Kamsa if I go to Vrindavan. So I tolerate even this very, very, very demoniac ruler, and I will stay here in this wrong place, just with this one motivation in my heart. My dear devotees, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote a letter to Rupa and Sanatan, who at that time were also the servants of this Nawab Hussain Shah, who some scriptures say is the reincarnation of Kamsa. You know, he was writing, he gave them a tip. And maybe Gauranga Mahaprabhu thought of Akrura at that time. He gave him a tip. He gave the two brothers a tip. You are now in the service of a demon. You are not in ideal circumstances. But you have asked me how you should conduct yourself. And this is my answer. It is, the answer is spoken in metaphorical and also rhythmic form. And he tells, Mahaprabhu tells in this answer to Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, how all his devotees should behave in this world. I will recite to you the English of this verse. It can perform, it can become the motto of your life. If a woman is attached to a man other than her husband, she will outwardly appear very busy in carrying out her household affairs, but within her heart, she's always relishing feelings of association with her new paramour. This is mystical for you. What? A woman attached to another man? God forgive, for forbade. What is all this? This is the mystical language of where you have to be a little subtle to catch the point. It gives an example of a person who is in one situation but thinks of something totally different and is occupying herself day and night. Listen to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's commentary on this verse. He says, just as the woman who has become addicted to the love of another man continues to devote herself to her housework, remaining in the married state while passing her days in thinking of her lover and remembering the joys of union with him, Raganuga devotees similarly continue to observe the external rules and regulations pertaining to their vanashraman duties, while internally relishing the flavors of Krishna's pastime. Such a devotee deceives the foolish. The service to the Lord rendered by such Vaishnavas is the standard of what is meant by cleverness in worship, bhajan chaturyam. This is in the Anubhasya by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. My dear devotees, if you want to be clever and expertise in your Krishna consciousness, then you must start your internal life. Your internal life will sometimes may be very different to what it appears, but it is very, very, can become very strong. I experienced something like this just a few weeks ago. I was so ill that I had to be in the hospital in Delhi, and I decided to follow this verse. Outwardly, I was a patient, but inside, I was a kirtan devotee. I was all the time singing, and when we had these oil massages, some of them taking 1.5 hours, I was just singing. And after some time, do you know what I noticed? My masseurs, the people who were massaging me, started to sing. I had not sang loudly because that was inappropriate, and it was a Mayavadi hospital. But I remember, I let me be in Vrindavan internally and sit down at a holy place and just sing my kirtan there. And it had apparently some influence. So this is what all of us have to learn. We are here in this world, we are in this body. Some of us are in difficult situations. I know Srila Prabhupada's sister was married to a meat eater. Yes, oh, very, very difficult situation because she worshipped deities. But internally she was absorbed in another direction. When do you start your internal life? It is very important that you started very soon. I think many of you are already on this path. And this is what I really want to teach in Akura's example. Outwardly, he looks like the mantri of Kamsa. Outwardly, even for some of us, he looks like a bad, bad person who has brought Krishna away from Vrindavan. And we will come to this. We, as devotees of Krishna, will think, well, that was Krishna's plan. He used Akrura Krishna and Akrura had to play this role because Krishna wanted it. You know, Akrura is misunderstood by the people of his the ministers around Kamsa, and he is also misunderstood by the devotees of the Lord. No one understands him, but he has something in his heart which makes him so exalted that Sanatana Goswami pays his obeisances. Sometimes that may happen to you. The materialist will not understand you and the Hare Krishna devotees will not understand you. But if you have a strong, strong purpose to see Krishna, your life is glorious. Your life is glorious. So, Sanatana Goswami, to prove that Akrura was a very, very praiseworthy devotee, did some palmistry on Akrura. You know what is palmistry? To look at someone's hand. He had one line, says Sanatana Goswami, which showed that he had a very charitable nature. He liked to give. Even when he had this Yamataka jewel, he was not using the income which it produced for his sense gratification, but only for yakya and dana. That is my first point. Prabhupada spoke about this eagerness because I would like to tune you a little bit in so that you understand the main character. He said, this eagerness to meet Krishna. And I think as we go along the Bhagavatam, we will find this as the prime quality. The eagerness will jump out of the pages and hopefully out of my katha and grab your heart. This eagerness is the main qualification. Sometimes people say, can you show me God? Have you seen God? Sometimes we meet these questions. So the answer is here. Yes, you can see God. Everyone can see God. I'm also seeing God. But there must be the qualification. And then he speaks about this qualification in terms of a story. He says, there's a story in this connection. Just try to hear. It is very instructive. One professional reciter was reciting about Bhagavad. And he was describing the Krishna is highly decorated with jewels and is in the forest. He is sent there for tending the cows. So in that meeting, there was a thief. He thought, why not go to Vrindavan and plunder this boy? You know, he has all jewels. Usually the thief may steal some 10 rupees here, some 2 paisas there, some 5 rupees there. But now he thinks, well, there's this boy who has all the jewels. With one hit, I get my purpose fulfilled. He's in the forest with so many valuable jewels. I can go there and catch the child and take all the jewels away. That was his intention. So he was serious. I must find out that boy. Then in one night, I shall become millionaire. So much jewelry. So he went there. His qualification was, I must see Krishna. I must see Krishna. That anxiety, That eagerness made it possible that in Vrindavan he saw Krishna. He saw Krishna in the same way as he was informed by the Bhagavad reader. Then he saw, oh, you are such a nice boy, Krishna. So he began to flatter. He thought that flattering, I shall take all the jewels. In other words, he didn't want to use violence. He saw Krishna. It was so beautiful. Then he proposed his real business. So may I take some of these ornaments? You are so rich. Krishna said, no. My mother will be angry. I cannot. So Prabhupada talks about this story. It is actually from the Bhaktamala, and there will be, I've heard there will be translation of the Bhaktamala, where we will hear more such stories of modern time devotees who've met Krishna because of their one qualification. What is the qualification? Eagerness. Akrura stayed for 12 years serving this demon and saying, yes, yes, very good, very good, very good, very good. What you do, why don't you do like this? He knew that was his only chance because he was a respected leader. If he would run away, the spies would watch him. That was the only chance for him to do what? To see Krishna. That determination, that intense eagerness makes him praiseworthy. That is Akrura. So I would like to now start the katha almost. I'm almost ready. I need a few more things. I should tell you something about Kamsa, and I've written a huge research like this, but I just can't bring it over my lips to talk about him. It's just not possible. I come from a family of murderers. I just can't tell you. It would break my heart to tell you about Kamsa, and it would break your heart. It's just enough to say that at the end of the terror regime, Kamsa had these nightmares. There's a scripture which analyzes nightmares, and I've looked these up in the scripture. He was seeing that his angel of death had been born somewhere else outside of Mathura. Everything comes ahead in his power had failed to kill Krishna. Finally, he was thinking in his demoniac thought, I must bring Krishna out of Vrindavan. Because in Vrindavan, this is something which His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj has explained very nice. Just look at the logic of the demon. In Vrindavan, Krishna has a home advantage. I will speak this in the language of Manu and Gopinath, who are extremely able football players. If they would challenge the Brijbasis for football play, they would most probably win. And it is known in football, if you are playing in your hometown, you feel just more encouraged and you have a home advantage. For instance, let me give you another example. An alligator can fight very nicely inside the water because that's his atmosphere. But when he crawls outside of the water, even a street dog can bite him and create trouble. So Kamsa said, Krishna, the only reason that Krishna was able to kill all these demons was that he was in his own turf, in his own surface New York slang. How do you say this in proper English? In his own home, and therefore he somehow got strength to kill these demons. So let me take him out of Vrindavan. Let me devise a trick. He explained everything the night before Akura went to Akura. Akura, listen to my plan. That I have this enemy called Krishna. He lives in Vrindavan. But, you know, I will do a great yajna for Lord Shiva's bow. It's a religious thing. My friend is a little religious. My enemy is a little religious. I will invite him there. The next day, I will have a wrestling match with professional killers as my people. And they will fight with Krishna. They will break all the rules. They will hit him in the soft spots and will kill him while everyone looks on and suffers. And before the wrestling arena, I will already have my Kuvalayada Pida elephant, who is feared by all the universe. So Krishna cannot even enter the wrestling match. And he went on. He had so many plans. He had so many plans. And Krishna will see his parents, Vasudev and Devaki, in chains. And he will die as he sees his poor parents as my prisoners. And I will enjoy how he's killed in the open. And all of the people, the pious people who side with my enemy, will cry tears and have psychological breakdowns. That is what I will do. Yes, yes, yes. And more such thoughts. We don't want to hear this. Therefore, Akura, said Kamsa, and his voice was trembling with friendship. Akura had really deceived him well. And he took the hand of Akura, took it in his own hands. Akura, you are my best friend. You just go to Vrindavan on a special golden chariot. And you will bring Krishna Balaram under the pretext of joining a wonderful festival. And it will be the festival of their death. Hare Krishna. So, he didn't say Hare Krishna. So when Akura heard how Kamsa laid out his plan, then he said something where Kamsa couldn't really understand what he was saying. He said, O King, you have expertly devised a process to free yourself of misfortune. Still, he said, Kamsa, one should be equal in success and failure. What he says, in other words, because he had to say something. He's a devotee of Krishna. He couldn't say, take a first-class plan. This wouldn't come over his limit. He said, let's see what will turn up, what will happen. We may plan, but there could be also failure. So better be equal-minded. That's what he said. It somehow, he could only say this much. A sentence where the devotees know, ha, Akrura. He is now talking to the demon and he is showing him that he will be killed. But it's indirect language. Kamsa did not know, because if Akura would have said even a little bit more in the direction, that Kamsa would not be successful. Kamsa, who's intelligent, would have found out he is siding with my enemy. So this was the golden opportunity, and we will now join Akura on his journey, which is described as a manorata, inner journey. I will describe a little bit more the inner journey, and I will take help from Jungian psychology at times to make you tremble and faint, and so on. You know, our thought process is called the manorata. It means the chariot of the mind. Your mind can go anywhere it you send it. Vishwanath Chakravarti Swami and Sharita Swami comment in the fourth canto, our mind is like the chariot made out of our aspirations, desires, and dreams. We may not have a goal. Our mind is like a chariot made out of our aspirations, desires, and dreams. My dear devotees, where has the chariot of your mind driven you? Are you with me at the moment? It could be that some of you are still in the hometowns, or maybe Manu, whom I have at Gopinath, might think about the football match against the Vishvasis. It is very important that you learn how to control your manorata. It's not so important where you are, what you do, how others think of you, as it is for you to learn to send your manorata in the right direction. This is what we can learn. Do you know why Akrura had this very, very good opportunity to see Krishna? He had two actually qualifications. As Akrura was the only high-minded soul in Kamsa's government, he would always take care of Vasudev and Devaki as much as he could. He also made plans to protect the Brijabasis so that Kamsa never sent an army against Krishna's father Nanda Maharaj. Radha Govinda Maharaj points this out. Akrura got this opportunity to be sent by his enemy, Kamsa, to meet Krishna because he served devotees. He had done service to Vasudev and Devaki and Nanda Maharaj. Therefore, he will meditate. He will say, Krishna will know I did so many services to his family members, and he will look at me with kind eyes. And another reason why Akrura got this golden opportunity was mentioned already. He had this eagerness to meet Krishna. Akrura got the instruction to fetch Krishna from Vrindavan, bring him away from home and his home advantage to Kamsa's town Mathura for that wrestling match. He got that the evening of Ekadasi. Then he fasted the whole night, the Ekadasi night. He chanted and he chanted Krishna's holy names the whole night. He couldn't sleep from excitement. And in the morning, without breaking Ekadasi properly, he got on the road to Vrindavan. It's not necessary to follow Ekadasi properly if you go to meet Krishna. You know, it's an unnecessary small detail which is not so important. at least not for those who are impelled by deep attachment, as we can learn from Akura. So we find him now on the road, and on text 2 we find a little bit how this great soul travels. Gacchanpati Mahabhago Bhagavat Yambujekshane Bhaktim Param Upagata Evam Etat Achintayat. As Akrura traveled on the road, the great soul felt tremendous devotion for the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead. And thus he began to think as follows. His heart was so full of bhakti, and with his bhakti he remembers Krishna as Ambujakshane, the one who has lotus eyes. This is how you can start your meditation as well. Krishna is the incarnation of Godhead who is known by this one distinguishing feature. He has lotus eyes. As you know, the lotus grows in the cool water. And just like the lotus is therefore associated with coolness, Krishna's lotus eyes are also associated with a certain quality, that is, they can cool the fire of misery which is burning in the heart. Do you sometimes feel this fire? It is a fire with so many desires. We may know how we should act. We may know the ideal path, but a fire in the heart, the fire of my desires, the samsara, saric fire is there. So meditating or thinking about Krishna's lotus eyes is really the antidote against it. This is explained in the, don't know, in the Bhagavatam for sure, where it says if you suffer from sex desires, you should meditate about the arched eyebrows of Lord Krishna and his lotus eyes. If you add this simple thing to your life, to think about the lotus eyes of Krishna, your misery will stop. You can even look at Giriraj here. I'm sorry. Giriraj has this distinguishing feature. He has these lotus eyes because he's Krishna. And these lotus eyes give coolness to your heart. This is how Akrura thought about Krishna. Wow, he thought about his lotus eyes. He thought about how the eyes are moving. He thought how about the Krishna Kripa Kataksha, the merciful glance of Krishna towards his devotee. And as he traveled, he was just thinking, soon I will see that person. And even more important, he will see me. And he will take care of all my miseries. I have served a demon. I have many wounds in my heart. I had to do many compromises. But now the lotus eyes of the Lord will cure all my wounds. He thought like this. But then Akrura had a great doubt in his heart. And I believe this doubt is with us also. Prabhupada said a little while ago, everyone can see Krishna. But I know the Hare Krishna devotees doubt this. And I remember I was once with Burijan Prabhu. We were going to the Yamuna and we were talking as friends do. And devotees always talk about the spiritual path and how to advance and what are the obstacles. And Burijan Prabhu said, I think the main problem is that we think we are abandoned by God. He's given us up. Our case is no longer on his list. Our name is removed from his mercy list. I was thinking about it, and then like Germans always do, I mildly protested. No, I think there's another main problem. But for 1 year, I thought always about what he had told me. And I was really very, 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 very... I think it is true. Guru Hari, can you just open the Gopinath prayers? So, he felt Akarura traveled on the road. He thought about Krishna's lotus feet and that Krishna's darshan could remove all the trouble. But then he said, most probably I will not see him. He said, Mamaita dhulabam manya utama shloka darshanam vishayatmano yata brahma kirtanam sutra janmana. It says, thank you, I can. Since I am a materialistic person, absorbed simply in sense gratification, I think it is as difficult for me to have gotten this opportunity to see the Lord Uttama Shloka as it would be for one born a sutra to be allowed to recite the Vedic mantras. Akura thinks, in other words, Krishna is right there. It's only 12 kilometers which I have to drive. I don't know, they would have one yojana and 1.5 yojanas, he would have said. But who tells me that I actually meet Krishna, who is difficult to meet, even by Brahma and Shiva? I don't believe it. I think I'm on a mission impossible at the moment. And then he gave an analogy. He said, a shudra is never ever allowed to recite the Vedic scriptures. Even if the book is right there, he will say, you cannot touch it. Also, the Shudra usually does not know how to read in old times. So even if the book is there, he would not read and intone the Vedic scripture. So he said, Krishna is just before my eyes. He is 1.5 yojanas away. But I will never meet him. I'm just too unqualified. My dear devotees, do you also feel like this? I will not meet Krishna. It will not work. I have come to Vrindavan, but do you sometimes feel hopeless? No, yes, middle. Great devotees have expressed this hopelessness, and I believe it is something we need to come to grips to. Our Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, Gopinath mama nivedana shuno vishayitu jana sada kamarata kichu nahi moraguna. Please sing. Gopina Mama nivedana shuno vishaidu jana sara kamarata kichu nahi moraguna. O Gopinath, please hear my prayer. I'm a wicked materialist. I'm always addicted to worldly desires, and I possess no good qualities. Devotee should feel like this. These things then go, gopi, 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 Amara bharasa tumi, tomara charane loinu sharana, tomara kinkarani gopina. Amara bharasa tumi, tomara charane loinu sharana, tomara kinkarami. O Gopinath, you are my only hope. I have taken shelter now at your lotus feet. I'm your servant. Oh, Gopinath, how will you purify me? I really don't know what bhakti is. And my materialistic mind is absorbed in so many mundane activities. I've fallen into a dark and perilous worldly existence. Oh Gopinath, when I look around here, I see many things, but all this is simply a maya. If you ask me if I have strength in me, no, I have no strength. I have no spiritual knowledge. And the worst thing is, this body is not free from the control of material nature. I think one thing and my body does something else, being controlled by Maya. Now I have come to you, O Gopinath. I'm weeping piteously. I'm begging you for an eternal place as your feet. Bestow your mercy upon me. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes through the same thing as Akrura. Akrura in this first verse says, it will never happen. I am on the road to Mathura, but the Lord will be invisible. There's a verse which Shiva Goswami quotes. Krishna speaks to Narada, don't think it's so easy to see me. If I don't want to be seen by you, I can simply disappear. And then he disappears. And Narada doesn't see Krishna any longer. That is there in the Bhagavad Sandarbha. It's not so easy. Akrura thinks things like this. But as he goes through the mood of hopelessness, which all our acharyas have expressed in song and so on, as he goes through the lake of tears, he says, I'm weeping piteously. I'm begging you. He thinks of something. Mm-hmm. Gopina, Tumito Shakaliparo, Durjane Tarite, Tomara Shakati, Ke Ache Papira. Shakali paro, dujane tarite, tumara shakati ke ache papira. Gopina, tumi kripa paraba. Karne Asya Prapanche Lila Koile Shubishtara Gopina Numi Kripa Parabara Jivera Karana Asya Prapanche Lila koile subistara Nina. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, you are capable of everything, Gopinath. You have the power to deliver even a sinful wretch. And then he says in the next verse, you are an ocean of mercy. You have come into the material world of five elements for the sake of all of us. So, this is what he says. And this is what Akrura also thinks. He first thinks, I'm a Shudra. I just can't get the opportunity to see Krishna. I'm bad. But then in the next verse he says, Mamaivang mamadangshayapi, enough of this depressive thoughts. After all, even a fallen soul like me can have the chance to behold the infallible Supreme Lord. And then he gives an example. It happens that sometimes the conditioned soul who is swept along in the river of time may sometimes reach the shore. First, he uses one Naam Kirtan, Uttama Shloka. He says, the Lord is praised by Vedic scriptures, certainly not by me. He's praised by the best verses, not me. But then he has another Naam Kirtan. Achyuta, he's Achyuta. How could I forget? Yes, he's Uttama Shloka, but he's Achyuta. It means infallible. And here it means infallible in his promise to deliver even the fallen souls. He never falls away from his qualities like mercy and gratitude for service which is rendered. Now we know in the 64 qualities, no, that Krishna is kritagya. It means he remembers any little seva which you have done, like sitting now here at the side of Giriraj and listening to the Bhagavatam and Akrura's deep life. his manorata, his thoughts, which go on his inner journey to Vrindavan, huh? Or what you do here, maybe you serve prasadam, maybe you do other things. Maybe he remembers Putana. You know, Putana dressed up like a pious lady. But inside of her, she was a pretender. Do you remember? She smeared her breath with poison to kill Krishna. It was heavy, heavy poison, which could kill even the strongest man. He used this recipe from her poison recipes. She must have had many recipes because she was a witch. Was the strongest she could think of. But she dressed like a devotee. So Akrura may think, I'm not good, I know, but I'm trying. Maybe I'm a pretender. But the Lord will recognize everyone. He is Kritagya. He knows that someone does service. Later he will directly say, one of the qualities of the Lord is he knows what is going on in my heart. Why? Because the Lord is Paramatma. He knows. My dear devotees, for us it is important. It is not by your sadhana that you get Krishna. By your qualities, by your qualifications. I fasted on Ekadasi. And 2 weeks before Ekadasi, I also fasted every day. No, it is by his qualities, that is, Krishna's qualities, not by your qualities that you get Krishna. You get Krishna by his qualities, like his kindness and his mercy. And Akura thinks, and he has an example comes to him, his mind, how Krishna shows mercy. I don't know if you have been in Australia, if you are, not Australia, Austria. This is an example from Austria, but also apparently from Akura's cultural background. Sometimes it happens that some piece of wood, which is swept along down the river, reaches the shore. In the same way, it sometimes happens that a conditioned soul who's swept by the Kala Nidhi, this is a Sanskrit word, the river of time, meets the Lord by his mercy. When I was a child, my parents took me every summer to the same boring place in Austria. And after I had been there for 2 summers, I decided to be a little creative and use the time in a non-boring way. I made caves, I built houses in the trees, and I sat down by the bank of a raging river. And when I saw a piece of wood coming from the high mountains moved down the river, then I just waited. And sometimes I had one dog with me, his name was Miro, I still remember him. I said, Miro, you help me. I'm young, but you are old. You help me, and the Miro always found this wood. Then I would take the wood, and then I would carve ghostly figures out of the wood and put the wood in the room of my little brother. And when he would wake up, I had a candle under the newly carved thing, and he would scream, and I would creatively use my time in such childhood pastimes. to somehow get over the boredom. Always the same place in Austria, of all places. So, yes. I do remember this. So this is the example. I mean, it's a better example. All conditioned souls, including you, are swept along by the river of this Kala Nadi. During this process, we suffer heat and cold and disease and nausea and diarrhea. Hare Krishna, and all these embarrassing diseases. But by Krishna's mercy, it happens that we can be saved from this river of time. I feel like this when I see an audience like you. You are greatly fortunate souls. You admittedly look a little battered by your time in the material energy. Some of you look old and are bent over. You can see the Kala Nidhi is working on you. Some of you fight because you are tired and you have not slept before this class. So it's a torture for you to listen to me. I know when I'm in this situation of being tired, I know what it feels like. You made it here. You were swept down the Kala Nidhi and you are now put on the shore. This is Vrindavan Dham. And Vrindavan Dham, just by touching Vrindavan Dham, great things can happen. It's like the light came into your life. You know, when you have a room which was 5 million years in darkness, when the light comes into that room, immediately, instantaneously, the room is lit up. The light doesn't say, this was 5 million years of darkness. It will take me a little time, maybe half the time, 2.5 million to light this up. No, instantaneously, where there is light, the darkness cannot stay. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. Instantaneously. I heard one class of His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj. He said that there was once a driver of a bullock cart who was very sinful. One day this driver jeep, not of a jeep, but of a bullock cart, had to do some work in Vrindavan. And as he entered Vrindavan, he somehow was hit by his own buffalo, fell down from the top of the bullock cart on top of a tulsi plant, and died. The Yamadutas came for him, but when they saw him lying on a tulsi plant, they didn't dare to touch him. They went back to Yamaraj and asked him, what should we do with this sinful bullock cart driver who has fallen on a tulsi plant? And Yamaraj told them, leave him. He has come to the holy Dham. Just go back and see what will happen to him. And the Yamadutas went back in an instant. And do you know what he saw? What they saw? They saw a chariot coming from the spiritual world, a Vimana, and he got his spiritual form, and they invited him on that chariot and flew him back home, back to Godhead. This happens when someone comes in contact with the process of bhakti, in this case, Dham Vas, living in the holy Dham, or the holy name. Something happens and instantaneously the room of darkness, the millions of years of forgetfulness are moved away. Kaliya, for instance, I don't want to talk now much about this because we will hear in the evening. He just more or less in an English ISKCON language hung out in Vrindavan. And he poisoned the atmosphere. He had no seva. That's right. In fact, he was a disturbance. He killed the fauna with his poisonous, the flora with his poisonous fumes. But the Lord gave him the dust of his lotus feet. This mercy of the Lord is so unprecedented that he just was very, very elevated. He came to Krishna consciousness by this special treatment. So, my dear devotees, please, you now are in Vrindavan. You will be going through a marathon of Krishna Katha. I believe it has started this morning with Madhavananda Prabhu pouring the nectar of the different lessons of the Sankachura Leela in our ears. I will hear all this on the MP3 player. Then you hear now something about Akura. Then our Bhujam Prabhu in the afternoon will talk Krishna Katha. And then in the evening there will be a dramatic reading by Jagatarini Mataji also on Krishna Katha and so on. This will have its effect on you. You may be strongly pushed by the Kala Nidhi up till now, but you have reached the shore. This is what Akura says. Enough with this depressive thoughts. I will not meet Krishna and so on. But after all, even a fallen soul like me can have the chance to behold the infallible Supreme Lord. My dear devotees, this can happen to every one of you if you, and only if you, understand the first mood or emotion, a spiritual emotion in Akura's heart. He felt hopeless. He felt extremely humble. We sometimes say the way up is the way down. You must first feel this intense humility. Then from this humility, which can even take the shape of almost an existential crisis of hopelessness, it means I have no chance in my life to reach my goal, then you can see. But if you don't go through this, if you think, oh yes, I'm quite qualified, I'm here in Vrindavan, everyone can see, I have good chances, I'm very learned, and so on. You must have this. And Sanatana Goswami, I will end here. Will I end here? Oh, Krishna. Sanatana Goswami says, Na prema shravanadi bhakti, na prema shravanadi bhakti apiva yogo tava vaishnavo. This is the aging Goswami who every day did the long parikrama of 40-something kilometers around Giriraj. He is teaching us a lesson which also Akrura has taught us. When he said, I am a materialistic person absorbed simply in sense gratification. That's Akrura's word. In the words of Sanatana Goswami, I'm troubled by my desires for personal enjoyment, which are deeply rooted. Acetya mula. Mula means a root. And acetya, it's so deep, it cannot be simply cut. In fact, I do not have any prema And I really do not perform the practices of hearing and chanting with bhakti. I have no practice of meditation on Vishnu in the Ashtanga yoga process. That's a Vaishnava yoga. What you do is you go, there are some descriptions how to meditate. In the Vaishnava Tantra, for instance, you start by thinking that your body is consumed by the fires, and then it's just a small heap of ashes, and then a drop of Krishna's Amrita falls on it, and then you get a new body. I'm just giving you some examples. This is not what the Goswami path of meditation is. We don't have this fire and these things, but we think of Krishna in Vrindavan. No? So I don't do this. I have no Vaishnava yoga. Nor do I have any jnana, knowledge of the Lord. Nor do I perform my vanashram duties in the service of the Lord. I do not have even a good birth, which is suitable to execute these things properly. But since you are most merciful to the least qualified, O dear lover of the gopis, though I have impure desires, my aspiration for you continues to agitate me. This is what Akrura goes through. He says, I have no qualities for seeing Krishna. Just like a low-born Shudra cannot read the Sanskrit of the Vedic scriptures which praise the Lord in selected verses. I can't do this. But then he thinks, but you have this, you are Achyuta. Aren't you infallible? Haven't you said that you will take care of the most fallen? Bhujam Prabhu has yesterday recited a verse under the desire trees. In the verse he said, Rupa Goswami says, when I think of the difficult performed sadhanas of the ancient practitioners, I have become hopeless. I can't do this. But when I hear that the drops of your mercy splash even the most unqualified, I gain hope. This is what Akura goes through here. How often have some of you cried? I know you come to the Swamis and the those who serve as gurus. I've talked with my god brothers. Do people also come and tell you the things they tell me? What do they tell you? They ask. Well, they say that they have deep rooted material desires and they can't get it out. Maybe these people only come to me. No, to me also. Acha. Jiva Goswami's comment is explaining this mood. What should I do? Because I have these deeply rooted desires for personal enjoyment on one side, and then I have this thirst for attaining the Lord on the other side. Should I give it up? No, I should continue to hanker for you, my Lord, because I think that you can turn that material desire into prema. Why? Because you are the most merciful to those who are most deficient. He uses the word hinatadika sadake. It means sadakas who are without any value, arta, or achievements, you could say, and no adhika is there. That means no qualification. You are called Hinatadika Sadake. Did you know that Krishna has a name like this? You're most merciful to those who have no qualification and no adhika. So In essence, my dear devotees, it's not possible to attain Krishna on our own. But by His mercy, everything is possible. By His mercy, Krishna Prem is squeezed into the dust of Braj. You know that, do you know that Krishna has these loving emotions in his heart? And somehow, that's what I heard, this love of his heart comes to the feet and goes from the feet into the dust of Braj. It's there. That love is there. That mercy is there. By Krishna's mercy, Krishna is present in the deities. By Krishna's mercy, he is present in the holy names. It is not possible to tell you how many devotees have come in contact with Krishna's mercy through these agents and have gotten Krishna prema. I'm sorry. In the Bhagavatam, we have learned, it's there in the Sanskrit, that when Krishna hears someone chanting, he thinks this person is my own. He's mine, he's a family member, he belongs to me. I must protect him. So, but you come only to this when you think you can't come to this. You only come to this level when you think it's impossible. You only get the mercy when you feel disqualified to get the mercy. Yeah, that is one of the paradoxical things in Akura's Manorata, or inner journey. He says first, is he fickle-minded? Is he a little too much vata due to old age? Maybe he got the wrong food, or because he fasted on that day, maybe he doesn't think properly. After all, when you know, two vata courses, he didn't break his fast, and then he traveled on a chariot. He first says, I can't reach him, and then he says, I can reach him. Two opposite statements. No, this is the way to Vrindavan. This is what we can learn from Akrura's journey. Now, next, Akrura will start to meditate about Krishna. And we will do that in our next reading. We will not start this here, although I'm tempted to do this with you, but I think not too much on one day. We will hear about Akura's meditations. These are top meditations, as we find out. Some of them are very standard for our Vaishnava practice. For instance, the meditation on the symbols of the lotus feet and so on. We will hear many amazing things about Akura's continued inner journey to Vrindavan. I want to end here this katha. From my side, I want to just see if you have some questions. We have 25 more minutes. Or we can just sit around, gossip. No, sorry. Talk, or we can do many things. Krishna. Have you seen the arrival of Shukadev Goswami? He's here in two forms. Our Radha Govinda Maharaj will, Radha Raman Maharaj will like. This deity carved in wood is also Shukadev Goswami. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very much for listening. Do you have any questions? I see one hand is up there. There I see a second hand. Let us see a third hand. And let us go to the Mataji side, two Matajis. Okay, so who was first? Yes, please speak loudly. Yes, there is one symptom, you say, Ashabanda, you're bound by hope. That is a symptom in the stage of Bhava, but Akura is here depicted as hopelessness. He says, Yes, I won't reach Krishna. His hopelessness is a sign of deep humility. He is actually, if you know, he's an uncle of Krishna. When Krishna will see him, he will address him as uncle. Because they are, Krishna has appeared in the Yadav clan or dynasty of the Yadavas. Therefore, he is called Yadavaya Madhavaya. And they have, and also Akrura has appeared in that same clan. They have the common great, great, great grandfather. I counted, was three times great. Or two times. I've written it down somewhere. There is, they have the same ancestor, they start, but Akura doesn't think, well, I'm a relative, I see my relative, he should recognize me. But with great humility, he thinks, you know, when a relative thinks, I won't be able to see my relative because I'm so disqualified, his feeling is humility. He won't receive me, my relative. Because normally relatives see other relatives. Krishna will address Akura. Oh, uncle, you have come. Mm-mm. But he, in the beginning, thinks, even though I'm the uncle, I'm disqualified. He's already a close family member, but he thinks he's disqualified. This feeling of it's described of thinking oneself wretched even in the presence of good qualifications is called dainya, which will cause prema to arise. I think in Vrindavan we all come to this level, no? That you feel, wow, what am I doing? Oh, Krishna. Somehow Vrindavan Dham has the son prapti, what is it called? Son prapti, that sweet? Son prapti, and the stick also. I got the stick this morning. Right into the stomach. Hare Krishna. God. Humility. There were other devotees with their hands, please. Yeah, I acknowledged some devotees who were first, but I forgot who it is. I think there are someone. Yes, there, Prabhu. You got your answer. Good. So there were. Yes, Hari Prashad. Prashad of Hari. Thank you for your very nice use of the English language. It's very nice, yeah. Hari Prasad says there's a very fine line. Akrura, by serving a demon, might have put his spiritual life at risk, but he did so for his spiritual life. Now, we sometimes find ourselves in a similar situation, and how do we navigate our troubled steps along that line so that we don't cross it and come to a dangerous situation? Yeah, I know. On Sankirtan, for instance, when you do big book distribution and you are on a rock and roll concert and everything is there which is against the four rules and regulations and so on. It happens in preaching that we go to such a situation where we are dangerous. I could give you examples from my life where it's very dangerous and so on. From the preaching, oh, how to navigate this. All what comes to my mind, there may be better answers, is a verse of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, who speaks about this risky situation. He says, my path is slippery. I'm repeatedly losing the path. We can imagine him going down a path in the monsoon, and it's a slippery path. If the saints don't give me their walking stick of mercy, I will fall. So by that mercy of Vaishnavas, we can navigate our line, the walking stick of mercy. And especially if we have an order of our spiritual master or founder Acharya about this. I do know Hari Prasad, the Prabhupada navigated at times the line in almost, for us, impossible ways. I know he wrote to one devotee of the Eastern preaching party. The devotee wrote to him, "I can't eat anything in the Eastern communistic countries," which was a fact. There were maybe some nuts and some yogurt, and you can't survive for long, at least not when you are used the delicious Hare Krishna fare. And Prabhupada said, "I don't care if you eat meat. Main thing, this preaching must go on." What? That was... I have seen this. It's not an imagination. He said like this. I mean, I don't think... The devotee who got this letter was an intelligent devotee. He didn't think this was now eat meat, you know, go to McDonald's and everything else. You know, no. The point was brought out that you have to take a risk. Now, I believe, but if you do so, you need the walking stick of mercy. In my humble opinion, it's good to have a direct order of a spiritual, of your spiritual master for this, then you are somehow protected. I have always seen this in my own life. We did things too intense for the new generation, you know. And when we were just starting to spread Krishna consciousness, and everything was not easy, and we were also young and inexperienced. This is what you always find the Vaishnavas referring to, the walking stick of mercy from other service. Do you know a secret, Hari Prasad? The mercy of the Lord follows the mercy of his devotees. That is a secret. You have asked a second question. The second question was, can you just give me a bullet point from this question? Yeah. When you feel hope... by the way, can we have a walking microphone, sound manager Prabhu? Then I don't have to repeat always the question for those who hear the recordings afterwards. Here the question is, when you feel hopeless, you might cut yourself off or throw the towel altogether. Hare Krishna. See, here it is good to study a little bit psychology, or to be a little aware of psychology. In psychology, it's not so much of a psychology, it's an easy to see point, but you know, when you allow your mind to go to negativity, it usually goes to more negativity and more negativity and more negativity. That's the psychological dynamics, which some of us call the downward leading spiral of negative emotions. So the hopelessness which we are talking here is a spiritual thing which doesn't associate itself with material emotions and the subsequent psychological processes which happen. That is, you go down the drain, you know. You are hopeless. It's best explained really in that verse of Rupa Goswami, when he says, when I, he brings the full spectrum out. When I hear of the different difficult sadhakas like sadhanas like Ambarish Maharaj's sadhana to fast for so many days and so on, I despair. I can't do it. But then when I think about your quality of being kind to the fallen, I blossom up. So don't allow yourself to go down the endlessly long spiral of which leads downward to negative emotions. And be hopeless, and the next thing is, I'm in Vrindavan. The dust is there. Maybe when no one looks, I come here really early and I just throw myself in the dust and I roll to the left side and then I roll to the right side, and then to make sure that I get it everywhere, I roll just 5 times in this direction, that direction, and I sing my kirtan. Wow! That is my sadhana for this morning. Krishna. So there were some Madhajis, our Mandaleshwari, I saw your head.
Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj. My question was almost like Hari Prasad Prabhu, and as I understand, to be sure, if we are in a situation that we are not sure that it can be handled, is it possible for us to go through this path in this situation, life situation or job? Is it dangerous for our spiritual life? So we have to talk with our Guru Maharaj, and then through his advice, and because he knows and he sees things which I can or we cannot see, and. Is it right? So it's better to deal with to explain with our spiritual master.
Or if it is difficult to just meet him, Vaishnavas is also possible. To go to other Vaishnavas, somehow there is a very good verse by Ramanujacharya on this. That yes, Ramanujacharya says, when no sadhana works, go and sit amongst the Vaishnavas.
Of course.
That's what always works. Like here, we are now here, and we just sit here. We need one elbow in this direction, and one elbow in that direction, and we sit there, and we just continue to sit there. When nothing works, go and sit amongst the Vaishnavas. The Ramanujacharya is giving this advice.
So it is authorized if we cannot be in contact with our spiritual master to talk with authorized devotees.
Yeah. Or just sit there, Mandaleshwari. Yeah. Sit there when the Krishna Katha is going on and the Kirtan is going on. And everything will be all right. Because there is a generation of spiritual energy.
Yes.
When the devotees come together, Krishna says, I'm not in the Vaikuntha, I'm not in the hearts of the yogis, I'm where my devotees sit together and do this. I believe when there's Bhagavatam recitation in Orissa, they make a seat for Krishna to sit down. Something, Madhavananda, you said something. There is the understanding is Krishna will come to the Bhagavatam recitation. That is there. And also in the Skanda Purana, I said that he's coming. He's coming. Krishna. Especially Bhagavatam. Kirtan. Yes. Yes, Mataji. This will be the last question, I think. Yes. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna, thank you for understanding how to apply this story in our life. And I wanted to ask, you said that a way down is often a way higher.
Yeah.
And how in our life we can apply it, because we can think, oh, I'm falling down, but it's okay, because it means that I'm going up.
about a creative interpretation of this. No, it means just to acknowledge your humble humble position. It doesn't mean to do something wild, you know, with your precious life. It just means to acknowledge the fallenness of your condition, but not to do something wild now. Okay, I do something really fallen, and then Krishna will see me. No, it's not. Thank you for clarifying this. Krishna. Rakeshji, let us supply you with a first-class microphone, so that what you say will be recorded. That is Rakesh. There.
Most of the management gurus say that being positive will bring you to your goals. And here, we hear that we need to think of being hopeless to reach Krishna. Because most of the times I felt that whenever I thought positively, yeah, I could reach my goal constantly. And whenever I thought negatively, I would not reach my goal. So here it was something which is completely away, yes, wherein I'm confused.
Thank you very much to introduce our Rakesh. He is what he is, a wonderful devotee of the Lord, but also a businessman, very successful businessman. And he knows about the management gurus. It doesn't mean of ISKCON, but just to bring you all on board here of the question. It means just people who give management advices, who think you should visualize your goal and so on. We must distinguish now material hopelessness, or the hopelessness and humiliation. It's not humility, it's the feeling of being humiliated. You have to look it up in the dictionary if you don't know the difference. And the spiritual quality of feeling hopelessness. In the material sense, this feeling hopelessness will bring depression, and it is most possible true that depressed people who will be so incapacitated by that emotion that they don't even dare to take a foot out of their house. They think already the Saturn will fall on their head when they are 1 meter away from their doorstep. Yes, that is there. When we talk of these feelings of hopelessness, it is in relationship to us. We are disqualified. But listen, this has two parts. This type of hopelessness is not just thinking about your own bad qualities, or meditating about your own stomach navel from morning till evening. It has a second part, just like a chickpea has two parts. One is the left part, the other is the right part. This spiritual emotion means you think less about of yourself, but you think more of Krishna. Krishna has the mercy. Krishna can make everything possible. And by the way, I must admit, I have also read some management gurus. not of ISKCON. They are managing gurus, but not management gurus in our movement. This, you know, feeling, by Krishna's mercy, everything is possible. Or by the, this English word, by this intrusion of an all-powerful agent into your life, everything is possible. You think, in other words, in business term, my little business will not get anywhere else. I have too little money to invest and so on. But if a big capitalist invests in my business, wow, then I can do business like no one in Dubai has ever seen, you know. When I was in Dubai, I saw a big land developer, and when I saw his name on the machines, I almost fainted. It was a name, let me remember this. Who was a famous terrorist? Oh, Bin Laden, yes, Bin Laden. The Bin Laden family has a huge development agency in Dubai. I saw that. So imagine Bin Laden's family would invest into someone who has a little business. He can do so much. So this type of hopelessness means two things. Alone, I'm nothing. With Krishna, everything is possible, because he invests in me. Is that Bin Laden in Dubai the same Bin Laden family? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not always good money, I think. All right, my dear devotees. I have carefully watched the wristwatch. It is now 12 o'clock sharp. I want to end here. I thank you very, very much. And I want to say you are a good audience, but tomorrow I would appreciate if you take your breakfast and then lie a little on the left side, just to sleep a little, because tomorrow we will actually meditate. And tomorrow there will be a big surprise happening here at Giriraj, a festival for our eyes and our aesthetic senses. You will see what it is. I can't give the secret away. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful first retreat day. May Giriraj bless you, and Hare Krishna.